as we wait for some additional folks, I'd like to welcome you to this the first seminar on family relationships. Maybe one day it'll be an annual event, I hope so. Today we have with us Dr. Marcia Summers. People talk about brush with greatness. People who, you get on the same bus with somebody famous. That's the only place I'll meet somebody on a bus. Airplanes or subways, something like that. But Dr. Summers is nationally known for her research, and we feel very grateful that she was willing to come at no cost to us and to present to us her research. And she has given this research in New Orleans at a conference for the American Association of Marital and Family Therapists, which is a national conference. I mean, she's big stuff. And so we're, you know what I mean. She's famous. No. She's famous. And so we appreciate her willingness to come and share the information. But Dr. Summers has an MS in Child Development and Family Relations and a PhD in Marriage and Family Therapy. She served as a child development consultant for 10 years and has worked with families for the past 9 years. Presently, Dr. Summers is assistant professor at St. Louis University. She teaches courses in various aspects of marital and family therapy and is responsible for the clinical training of the doctoral students. See, that's like me. So like when you ask me a question, I don't know the answer, so yeah, I call her. Dr. Summers' research in the area of father-daughter relationships is nationally recognized. Dr. Summers is a member of the American Association of Marital and Family Therapists at the supervisor level, and that takes some doing. So I present to you Dr. Marcia Summers.
You asked me about a prayer, and I said fine.
I'm a seminary professor. I know about prayers. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today together to share in the knowledge of relationships that we have with one another. We know, Lord, that each of us are a gift one to the other. We pray, Lord, for the strength from you to be able to treat one another as a special gift. We ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
I was afraid he had misunderstood me, and frankly, I'm feeling greatly in the need for prayer at the moment. I was expecting to talk to a group of 30 wives about their relationships with their fathers and, you know, if you had daughters or not. And I was going to have it be a workshop fashion. I come in and I find that I'm going to be taped, and there are more men than women in the room, so I'm in definite need of prayer. And I guess I need this on, huh? Is that okay now? First of all, I doubt that you need to be told that fathers have an incredible impact on the lives of their daughters. And I think that having taken any classes in family relations, you would find that out. But I think most of our society doesn't still know that. When I've done research with fathers and daughters in the past, I find that fathers discount their roles. It's up to the mother to raise the daughter, and he doesn't really understand what she needs and assumes that mother's going to fill that role. And that's not what daughters are saying at all. And daughters, I'm finding in, I did research with 300 girls at Virginia Tech, and also with about 70 girls at a small Midwestern high school. And their fathers were involved in the studies. And the girls were much more critical of their relationships with their fathers than the way their fathers described the relationship with their daughters. And I think what that means is that girls have a lot higher demand in regards to that relationship than do the fathers. I think any child has a higher demand of a parent than the parent has of the child as far as needs getting met. But I think that mothers have assumed that they were important to both their children, and I don't think fathers assumed that they were that important to daughters. And our society hasn't taught men how to parent, and especially not how to parent daughters. You know, it's kind of fun to go home and pitch the ball with son out in the yard after work at night, but what do you do with a daughter? well, daughters want something from you. So, and I don't think that daughters also want to be pampered and considered fragile and all of that. They'd like you just to be real and relate to them. One of the, most of the information that I have found regarding fathers and daughters has come from the viewpoint of daughters and has come to therapists. That's where most of the books have come from, and most of our information has been written by therapists who have seen women clients who then talk about their relationships with their dads. So what I have been trying to do is to do some research with non-clinical daughters, and that was the case at Virginia Tech and with the high school girls. But now I'd like to do some research with older women in their 20s and 30s so that we get a real perception of what the normal family life is like with daughters and their fathers. One of the things that I did find from the normal population was that what daughters want from their fathers is more verbal expression. They don't want an assumption that because I go to work and work hard 5 days a week and bring home the bacon that says I love you. Daughters want something verbal from their fathers. They want them to talk to them about how the day went. They want them to ask how their day went. They want a discussion, some ideas about how to choose a major in college, for instance, or how to get along with this friend from dad's perspective, not just mom's. And they would like a hug now and then. And they get more uncomfortable with that. When your daughters get to be adolescent age, you'll find that you get more uncomfortable as fathers, and they will get more uncomfortable as daughters to have that. But they never get uncomfortable with verbal expressions of caring and just of interest in them. So that's a safe one all the way through. I found when I was working with the daughters about their fathers that I would hear the exact same complaints from wives about husbands. So I think it is that maybe men just need to practice a little bit more of being verbal and expressing affection in general, instead of maybe that men tend to assume that their daughters or wives know how they feel, and that's not always the case according to daughters. They don't really feel particularly loved by their parents until they're in their 20s, especially fathers, and are able to work through some things. And I think you can save a lot of hostility in your daughter's adolescent years if you can start to work through and be closer to them in the younger years. One of the things that we found in research is that typically daughters and fathers don't resolve their relationships, don't feel totally comfortable until the daughter's in her 30s and the dad's in his 60s. And that's typical of the age range, you know, late 50s, late 20s, you know, that age range. But it takes a daughter working through becoming comfortable with who she is, and the dad getting through all of his career hassles and figuring that he's finally going to enjoy the relationships in his life. And so that's late 50s and early 60s. But that's been typical of our society in the past. I think now that we are asking more from dads, more involvement from dads, I think that it's not going to take that long to work out. It'll take you that long to have a good relationship with your daughter, for instance. I was going to do an exercise, and I'm still considering. Most of you have... what I was going to do is ask if you would, the women in the group, would write some descriptive words about their father. Just what words would you use to describe your dad? If you're comfortable doing it, giving me some just for an example for the group, I'd appreciate it.
He conveyed to me that he understood and was sympathetic to those feelings.
That's great. And have you felt like that's been very helpful in assuming that you can get that from people in your life now?
Oh, tremendously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played, I think, a real strong role in my nurture as a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I want to get some more, but that's just my point that I wanted to remember to make, is that you are the first model for what a daughter expects. You, as fathers, are the first model for what a daughter will expect from a relationship with men, both bosses and as spouses, that they become accustomed to being treated a certain way by you, and that's how they expect men to treat them. Some of that will get diffused by brothers or uncles or grandparents if your daughter happens to have that those kinds of relationships available, but you by far have the most strong impact on what her expectations are. So if you want her to grow up and choose boys who are going to treat her well and to work for bosses who are going to respect her, then you need to show her that respect and concern as a dad. Mm-hmm. So you knew what his expectations were. And
well, he knew what he expected of us, and we had no, you know, we couldn't deviate from it. We had to stay that straight line all the time, which was very rough, very rough.
Do you find yourself now, as a result, kind of anxious about whether you're doing things just right in life?
Not so much, because my husband is a totally different mode from my father. I did not marry someone just like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was a good benefit for me and
mm-hmm.
my children.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's left me with confused guidelines, because my husband being a little more lax, where I tend to follow my dad's and mom's way of being real strict. And so it makes for an uneven balance sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No balance at all.
And you can see, just from two people being willing to share that, what a long-term impact it has on how you were parented by your, especially the opposite sex parent, I think. I will just tell you briefly, my dad was a minister, not Lutheran, however. He got off on the wrong track and was a Baptist, see, but I want you to know that I know what it's like to live in the glass house of a minister. And it felt very much like that as a daughter. And not only did my dad have the high expectations, which she just mentioned, but I also felt like the entire congregation expected me to be perfect too. And it's going to be even more important for you as dads to give your daughters a break, your sons too, but with some understanding and some nurturing. And it's okay to make a mistake, because you do feel like you're walking on eggshells as a child of a minister. And the congregation's probably not going to give them that break. So the nurturing and the caring and understanding is going to have to come from home. And there's going to be a real high need for performance. When somebody asks the preacher's kid a question from the Bible, you feel real compelled to know the answer. I wasn't the one who was trained as a minister, but I still felt compelled to know. So I think there'll be stresses there that you won't even know is happening for your child unless you're willing to have an open relationship and talk with them about it. And I know that's contributed to this high achieving thing that I needed to do to go back to school and get all these degrees and do all this stuff. So it's okay to promote your child to do well, but there's been a lot of anxiety along the way too that doesn't have to exist. If you would please feel comfortable to stop me and ask questions along the way or make comments, I would appreciate it. I was kind of hoping this was going to be informal and we could chat about the relationships, and so here I stand with a microphone and not very informal at all, but I'll make the most.
If you want to pull a chair up, you're welcome, but I can move
you out. Okay. I'll stand here for a minute, but I may take you up on that. I'll go a little bit over the three stages of father-daughter relationships. And one is when the daughter is from 0 to 10, and the dad is typically in the 30s to 40s bracket. And again, these age ranges are different. If you had a child very young, you'd be in your 20s when she's in 0. Absent, inattentive, critical fathers will produce insecure daughters who are real detached. If that's the kind of dad you had as daughters, you will find that you have had a lot of problems with insecurity, and it's just much easier to be detached. If that's what you expect from men, is inattentiveness or criticalness, then it's just much easier to shut down. So on the reverse side of that, as dads, that's not what you want to produce in daughters, so you may need to note that you're giving your daughters much praise as you are criticisms about what you'd like changed. the daughters from these kinds of dads don't know how to be close, warm, or intimate, and they get furious at men who behave like their dads. May also lead to women who have no interest in sex, and that is, since that is a normal part of married life, that's not something that you also want to produce. But when you expect criticism along the way, then from the male in your life, then you will not be likely to function in a warm and affectionate way in the sexual realm either. The opposite sometimes is, instead of shutting down, the daughter will have excessive hunger for attention, and like she'll be addicted to excitement. And so one thing is that she can shut down. The other is that she'll be addicted to excitement and will have really short-term relationships, repeated short terms, and cannot hang in there for the long haul, like a long-term marriage, for instance. So that's the opposite way that a daughter will react to a critical, inattentive, absent father. Fathers who are really needy of their daughter's attention, like to have little girl running around praising them and feeling needed by their daughters, bring up women who can never leave home psychologically. What that means is that these daughters will have a hard time finding a man who'll measure up to dad, all the attention that they got from dad. And they'll consider that men who treat them in normal ways, such as a boss saying, "I want you to do this, and I want it by 5 o'clock," they'll consider that to be very demanding and excessive behavior. So when dad's been doting and needing of daughter, he hasn't allowed a natural relationship of an equal amount of expectations and praise and so on. When he just wants her to dote on him, and then he dotes back to keep that going, that's also not a normal way for males and females to relate in the world either. She will carry that over to men in her life, both career and mate-wise. And the next one is the really fun time, when the daughter's 10 to 20, and you know that covers adolescence, and when dads are 40 to 50. Some humor about adolescence here. Excuse me, I tried to cover. Daughters begin at this point to rebel. They get restless about hanging out at home and wanting to find their own way. They begin to separate, which is normal. They need to be doing that. And they also begin for the first time to really look at the flaws of their father. The problem arises when dad still needs to live up to this image and won't be real with his daughter. She begins to see that his punishment, for instance, the last time was out of his anger and not something that she truly needed to be punished about, and she'll bring that up. It's very important for you to be real with her, and yes, I was angry and I did take it out on you, and you may have been out of line about this, but then so was I. It's very important that you be a real person and not have to stay on that pedestal with her or stay perfect and right, which she knows you aren't at this point. And it'll just make her angry if you don't deal with her like a real person. Part of what's going on with the dad's life cycle at that point, I'm sorry, did you have questions?
I was just going to ask, how does it complicate things when part of what I assume a father, especially a person who's in the ministry, is facing at that point in time is the need to project an image of that kind of a thing? And does that accelerate or exacerbate the problem at that point in time?
I think it does, certainly. And I think it's very important for the father to not carry that over to the extreme at home. You certainly don't go in front of your congregation and wave all of your shortcomings. That's not the point at all. But you can be more real at home and need to be more real at home. And I think that was part of the thing that kept my anger going with my dad was that I would keep saying, why don't you practice what you preach? You know, you would get up and talk about all these loving things and then come home and take all his grumpiness out on us and not have a normal conversation about it. He wouldn't own his part of, you know, why a fight would get started or something. So I think it's important to let the image go at home and be real with your family. And like, there is some merit to owning up to mistakes too, to anybody. I mean, if you're willing to be realistic to people, they can be real back, but I'm not advocating that in the pulpit. But certainly I think people respect us when we're willing to admit to some shortcomings and frailties and not walk around being the poor me all the time.
A little bit ago, we were talking from 0 to 10, and some of the things going back and forth between fathers and daughters. Does that begin from 0 to 10 and go throughout the relationship, or does it kind of, those things are set by age 10?
That's typically what happens. When a father is, for instance, the inattentive and so on, that it would typically be set by 10. You can undo it. It is possible. And daughters can undo it for themselves, you know, when they get to the 30s category. But if you can work it through with a father, it doesn't have to be in concrete. And those relationships don't have to be that way. You can work them out. And those things can be modified by having a warm, nurturing grandfather. If you then can see that, for instance, if your dad was critical and absent and so on, but you had a granddad who loved to have you sit on his lap, that gets some of those things get balanced out a little bit. Also, having a mom who is willing to be nurturing and warm will help. It does not change the fact that you need that from a male, but it can modify it some. And sometimes mothers can make it worse by saying, yeah, he is just a jerk, you know. All men are just jerks, whatever. They can make it worse. It is really important for moms to help dads in this business of parenting their daughters, because the moms know. They know what daughters need from dads. Dads don't necessarily know. They've never been in that female boat. And it's very important that moms don't project jealousy. And that was typical of what most of the daughters that I studied said. When dads and daughters were close, mom was jealous. Mom wanted the time that dad was giving the daughter, and so she would get in the way of that a lot of times. And it's very important that you do things as families, but also very important that you let the dad spend some time with kids individually, daughters included. And the other thing is, I think that you can encourage a husband to be more verbal and be more expressive to a daughter, and know that in the long run you're going to win too, because he's going to learn how to better express to you too. So can help build your own relationship by showing him better how to parent a daughter.
Is it helpful or hurtful for a mother to try to express to a daughter the shortcomings or the inabilities of her spouse to be real expressive? I mean, is it helpful for a mom to say, well, your dad really struggles with that, and sometimes it's hard for him to express what he feels for you, but I'm sure he loves you, or I know he loves you, or think of this time when he said such and such, that really was his way of showing you how much he cares for you. Is that helpful or hurtful?
It's helpful if you will try to bridge that gap. It's better if you don't just leave it at that. You've done what you can for your daughter. Now let your husband know that your daughter would like a little bit more. And a lot of times the wives won't take that next step and let their husbands know that the daughters are still needing a little more. And would 2 minutes really hurt that much? You know, just encourage in that way to get them more involved. But that's the typical role that the daughters talked about in my research at Tech, was that their mothers played the role of bridging the relationship. They would always try to explain the dad to the daughter.
I certainly don't know a whole lot about this except what we're in. We have kind of a mixed family with daughters of different ages and previous marriage and all this around. And for me, as a male, it was real hard for when my wife would do the bridging and then say, well, you know, maybe you could do this or that, and, you know, trying to be the bridge between there. I took it at first as criticism, and mm-hmm. It was real hard for me to accept that as a working relationship between us. I felt like at first that she was doing it judgmental. You know, that's just more nagging kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it is how I perceived it, because I didn't understand well enough. And then after, you know, I learned a little more about that, that it was a lot better for us, for me to go, okay, yeah, Mom, thank you for, you know, I'm missing something here because I've got tunnel vision somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more appreciated. But at first, I was going to say it to, I'm sure no other male here would have that problem. But I took it as criticism, and if you don't, then that not only helps us as a daughter, but it also made the relationship between my wife and I even more special.
Right. That is great, and it's a nice reminder that we do need to go about pointing out the positives that we also see happening in the relationship, as well as to say, and she also needs this though too. And it is important. Nobody wants to just have your shortcomings pointed out to you all the time. So that was a nice added point.
What is the expectation of daughters 0 to 10 and 10 to 20 in terms of their affection from father? Because my own daughter is almost 10, is already showing signs of walkers going to give her a kiss by, and she's embarrassed. And I said, getting your old man's embarrassing you, or you getting old, embarrassing your old man or something.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the reasons why they break it at 10, is because that's when the difference begins, is at about 11, when they get uncomfortable with it. And so I think that you can ask her, would a hug with just your arm around her shoulder be more comfortable? They usually will tell you, yeah, or whatever, but they'll let you know. And they may never, if you have a really affectionate daughter, she may never get uncomfortable till. From any age, adolescence on, may still be okay to hug, but then a lot of daughters may not be. So I think one thing is that when they begin to develop sexually, they'll begin to question a lot of the physical relationships that they have, a lot of what's okay, what's appropriate, but then they'll work through it. So don't assume that because at 10 she's uncomfortable that she will be at 14. That might not be the case. It's just kind of a transition time for her to get accustomed to herself too.
Why is it that the fathers get uncomfortable with that?
Why do the fathers get uncomfortable? The I'm sure you've heard of incest taboo, and that exists in every society and to some level, but that's been typical across all societies, is that level of behavior within a family is not appropriate. But it does not change the fact that you recognize that your daughter, for instance, a dad does not recognize that his daughter is developing sexually. You can't ignore it. You also cannot ignore the fact that it may stir something in you. Daughters have the same thing. I'd like to marry this man when I get older. It starts at, 4 or 5 years old. And they may be attracted to their dad, or they may not be specifically attracted to their father, but hugging will create like a sexual feeling that they're uncomfortable with. It happens in almost every father-daughter relationship if you can get either one of them to admit it to you. And during interviews they will talk about it, that it does exist, and they feel uncomfortable with even thinking that their daughter is an attractive sexual girl at 16. It's not okay to even admit that much. Why not? They are, and they're going to definitely be appealing to men. It's just very important that you don't cross the boundary of relating sexually to them. Do what you've been doing all along. And if you start to pull back and be uncomfortable, then they're going to be uncomfortable. They will pick yours up. Daughters will read you like a book about your comfort level with where they are. And then they'll get uncomfortable as well. But it is totally natural and normal to have some feelings stirred. And if you know that and put them in the proper perspective, then it doesn't have to be an uncomfortable encounter. And dads are in charge of that. Daughters can't be. They're still the daughters. And, it's up to the dads to keep the safe boundary. And maybe even to bring it up and talk about it. If you're uncomfortable with hugging now, I won't do that anymore. I'd like to show you affection. How do I do it? Just be upfront about it.
Uh-huh. Daughters complain then about fathers, you mentioned, taking more time as sons.
Uh-huh.
They go hunting, they take their sons. Daughters may not want to go out and kill little birds. Should a father develop an equal amount of time with daughter and son, or what type of pattern should he develop?
I think it should be equal, and I think they notice it if it isn't. And I think moms need to get more involved with their sons too than they do sometimes, because I think they're the ones who can teach the sons the nurturing and skills about survival. I mean, not all of you are going to leave home and get married immediately and have somebody take care of you. You might marry somebody who won't too. So it's nice to have survival skills taught too. I'm not just laying that trip on dads. I think we need to change interchange those roles for both. But there are lots of things that dads can do with daughters that daughters like. And they might like to pitch a baseball. I happen to be one of those daughters who enjoyed that. But I also liked when he'd sit down and play Scrabble with me, too. I didn't expect him to play dolls. That's asking a lot, but to play a game with me was great. And there are lots of things that we enjoy across the genders that are nice, but I think it is equally important.
You may be getting to this later on. You've suggested that the father will be the first male role model, if that's the term you want to use. What is the relationship between husband and wife going to do to the, not the relationship between father and daughter, but what the daughter expects? I mean, if she's being treated one way by her father and her father treats her mother, are you following where I'm going with that? The inconsistencies there, what kind of things do those produce?
When I do end up talking about autocratic fathers, but I can insert it here just as well.
Well, you can wait.
If you have an autocratic father, one who says this is how it is and there's no talking about it, this is it, and he treats his wife the same way and his daughter equally, that's just how he functions in the family, that is exactly what daughter's going to expect, and that's how she'll relate back to men, is to shut down or to be very rebellious, one or the other. So when she sees it role modeled with two women in the family, or maybe all the sisters if she has more, that'll have an even stronger impact. For instance, in my case, my dad was very autocratic with my mom, but not with me. And he would talk to me about how to invest money, all finances and all of that. And he expected me, encouraged me to go on and get an education and be independent, etc. So I got double messages. So I still have confusion about what a wife's role is, though. I know as a female I'm going to do what I want to do career-wise, and have done so, obviously, but as far as in a marriage, I still remain confused about, wait a minute, is he supposed to boss and tell me what to do, and then I must be out of line if I'm saying, no, you cook half the dinners. It's a very confusing thing if you have the double way of relating. But it's less harmful to her if you at least treat her with respect and equal. Any others? Any comments? Anything I'm saying to you? Disagree.
You mentioned this with the age groups from 10 to 20, and I have yet to talk to my wife, which is Mrs. Plutton, this morning. How do daughters from the age 0 to 10 view their pastor fathers?
That one I can only do personally. I haven't interviewed pastor daughters, so. I think there's more stress in that relationship. Now, a lot of, because of the congregation piece that's built into it, you know, and I had a hard time with distinguishing between what God wanted for me and what Dad wanted, because if Dad said it, it was straight from God. And that made it really hard for me to think for myself. And I've talked to my other siblings, and they had the same problem. So, and I think also my mom had that same problem with what my dad's authority. So I think you need to be very careful that you don't come across as the straight voice from God when it's just you wanting something done, when it's just your opinion. That makes it very powerful, and makes it very hard to rebel, and makes it very hard for a daughter to disagree. Because you don't do that. You could get struck by lightning. It's a far more powerful relationship to overcome and be real with one another.
I think that it also has an impact on how you personally feel about God. You know, if your dad is not the kind that shares or can openly be mm-hmm. loving, and then you read in the Bible where God is a loving God, it's almost like you can't grasp what that is,
mm-hmm.
really. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that's a real difficulty that I've had, because my dad is very quiet and can't or won't express,
mm-hmm.
you know, how he feels.
It is. And then it's, you know, up to you about how to deal with it. One of my sisters just kind of shut down, and she didn't expect much from anybody. And I was very angry and rebellious and kept telling my dad, why don't you practice what you preach? That was my favorite thing to say to him. So it'll depend on the personality of the daughters, so how they'll deal with it, too.
My father was rather distant, too, and the same thing, except that I had the opposite. instead of having a difficult time relating to God and the Father, he became that father figure for me, and I knew just because my father didn't act loving toward me, God became that loving replacement. And I kind of had the opposite sort of reaction. So I think it depends a lot on the personality of the daughter, how they will react to that.
It definitely does. Mm-hmm. Did you?
Yes, just a comment. To me, it's so very difficult to be a father of a daughter or a son, and especially if you're trying to be committed to a Christian life. You know, a lot of the things that come out of counseling, and I don't particularly, buy into necessarily because of maybe where that might head in society. You know, we get kind of two messages, and to try to really have a healthy child, a resilient child, a Christian child, and then to kind of, have the blueprint, is very, very difficult because of, some of the same things that you try to do with your child to encourage them to be all they can be.
Uh-huh.
And, you have older children and you're not exactly thrilled about some of the roads they've taken, if you know what I'm saying. So, in our case, we have like two families, so we have an older group and then we have a younger group. And we're really trying to do better with the younger group. And it's really difficult, as someone to give us the blueprints to know, which way to head. I don't want my daughter to be a wallflower, to be abused. I want her to be her own person.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I would like to encourage her, if it's possible, that possibly she could be fulfilled if she wants to be a mother, and that's all she wants to be, and she wants to make that her career. Then I would like her to be able to do that. But ultimately, I want her to make that decision. But equipping her to make those decisions, you don't have a lot of direction.
Uh-huh.
You have a lot of direction, but you don't know which way to take it. So.
And I think just expressing to her what you just said is a really, really valid way to leave both doors open for her. And that that you'd like her to do well in school so that she can make a choice to do something different, but that being a mom and a wife is a very valid career and that it's been very undermined lately in our society, and you'd like her to know that she can really be appreciated and love that career herself, and you're open to whichever direction she would, encourage her to take either one. I think just talking about it, and there's not a magic way to push a daughter or to hold them back. It's just that if we will just express what we're really thinking, sometimes we just kind of grind away in here and think we don't know how, when all we have to do is just do it. Just say what your concerns are. Somebody else.
I guess that you try to take a mediating view on this. So we talk about the autocratic father and then the one that sits down and lets talk about this.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen cases, a neighbor boy one time threw a knife and hit my daughter, and I chased him to his house and he went inside, and the mother, single mother, she says, "Well, what happened?" And I said, "Well, your little boy over there just threw a knife and hit my daughter in the head." And she walks over and she says, "Oh my, now what was it that this man says you did? You didn't do that, did you?" And they proceed to have this talk, and it's fortunate for him that she was between me and I. But, I know that's very far afield. But, at home, we got three kids, got a wife, we're going to school, and I like to talk about things as long as I can. But finally, all right, this is what we're going to do.
Uh-huh.
And they say, "Why?" And we've been through it all. I said, "Because I said it."
Uh-huh.
And I really don't like that. It bothers me, it just eats me up, but I only have so much time to talk about everything. And if we keep talking, they win.
Mm-hmm. They wear you out.
And I lose. And we lose, I think,
mm-hmm.
But yet it really nags at me. Because I've seen enough little promotional films and things, let's all sit down and talk about it. Everybody
mm-hmm.
have a vote and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It just
It's really rough.
It is sometimes a difficult line to draw. I'll tell you one thing that may make you feel better. Children really want boundaries. They want to know where the line is. And they may test you about it, but they still want you to draw the line. They want to know, that tells them that you care about them and their safety, etc. And it's nice if you can say the line is here and this is why it's here. And there doesn't have to be a discussion about every rule in the house. But more of the talking about is what I'm referring to is that just an expression of affection, or you're glad to have this kid for a daughter, that kind of thing, and not negotiating every rule in the house. I definitely don't advocate that. I think there is a definite boundary between parents and children, and both boundaries need it to be there and very firm.
Let me offer a counter side of a similar story for you, and it's one that I experienced as a child, where a neighbor child fell off a couch while we were playing in the basement in Bunker Head. She went home and told her parents that I hit her over the head with a baton, which is why I happened to have and was taking baton throwing lessons. So her mother came over and said to my parents, your daughter just hit my child over the head with this baton, and my parents, without asking me, assumed that that was what I had done. And I was punished for it, and I was sent to my room, and whatever. And that incident really has stuck with me. Not that I'm resentful of my parents for having done it, but there's a part of me that says, why didn't you ask me, and why didn't you believe me, and why didn't you give me a chance to tell my side of the story? And so I think, you know, granted, you witnessed the events, so that makes it a different issue. But I still think there's some value in giving a child a chance to at least express what their side of the story might be, even if it doesn't change how you decide to handle the situation.
And there is no, you know, there is no hard and fast rule about it ever. And it's helpful if the punishment fits the crime so that the kid can talk about it. If the only out you've possibly got is to lie, what are you going to do? You know, so, but if the punishment then is appropriate for what happened and you still feel loved by your parent, I think you can talk about it.
I do want you along those lines. I don't know, we can't fish, I know you're trying to proceed, but do you punish a daughter different than you punish the son? Punishment fits the crime. Let's say that I'm a believer in corporal punishment, and the incident would be a daughter would go 3 or 5 doors down, hide in the basement for 2 hours you're looking for after you told her, don't do that. You know, and she knew she was supposed to, do not leave my sight. And if you do, then we've got serious consequences. You know, do you take a daughter and are you allowed? Not allowed, but do you encourage it? How do you view it? Do you corporally punish that child and forget that it's either a daughter or a boy? In other words, if in your mind, I've set the limits, you know, and this one's a corporal punishment, the rest of them are talking or they're in your room or you can't do this, you can't do that. But ultimately, in your own repertoire, you have corporal punishment. One of them. Do you do the same for the daughter as you do the son, or do you never lay a hand on the daughter? You know?
Yeah, there's so many ways I could answer that. Which one I would want to pick on. most fathers discipline their daughters differently. In research, we have found that's been the case. They do so. I think that there are rare occasions when a spanking, corporal punishment is the best choice. That's my personal bias. I've spanked my kid twice, and both times it was because I was so furious, that's all I could do was, you know, it was to relieve my fury. And he responded a lot better to different things. I don't know, if I'd had a daughter, I'd probably been the same. I was treated the same as my brother. In fact, I probably got a lot more spankings than he did, so it got handed out irregardless of the gender in my household. But I think that you need to treat your children the same, and across the board I think you need to, and hopefully in, you know, a loving, positive way. And I know that discipline is not necessarily seen as positive, but it certainly can be and should be as something to learn from. I don't think discipline has to always be punishment. So I wouldn't treat them differently, and I wouldn't assume that the daughter's fragile. If you assume she is, she will.
Good.
That was not permission to beat her.
I just, in conjunction with that, I remember having a season discussion that one son had with his father, which was basically, I didn't know you loved me because I never got the same treatment that Bucky did, and, mm-hmm. and Bucky was a kid who was rambunctious, and we did a lot of limits and whatever, but this other child was fairly compliant, so never got the limits and never got that, and it left him feeling uncared about because they didn't get the same kind of treatment. They weren't disciplined because the parents felt that for some reason it wasn't necessary to that particular child. But I think some of that really gets noticed by children. They really pick up on differential treatment and wonder why that's happening, and it must be something wrong with me, and there must be an acceptance of me for some reason.
He doesn't think enough of me to even waste his time, et cetera. Sure. I think children notice differential treatment in any regard. And if it's been abuse, they like it when it's differential. They just wonder when they're going to get it next. But basically, I think it's very important that they be treated the same, that it be consistent. That's an important message for kids to have.
Everlasting life to him be all glory. Amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.
In thee, O Lord, do I seek refuge. Psalm 31. So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus. Dear Christian friend.
I could have coughed then. Okay, let's see. We're back to where I was with the 10 to 20s. We're talking about Dad being real at this point, and because daughters are going to get angry when they see you behaving inconsistently with what you say. And so if they are outgoing children, you'll hear about it. If not, they'll just be thinking it. But it will be important that your behavior be consistent with what you say. And you can talk about this. It's, you know, I'm telling you, I don't ever want you to lose your temper and throw these temper tantrums when you do it. But you still can talk about the fact that you're not a perfect father. It's okay. They know you aren't. So you may as well deal with it at this point. It's important for fathers during this period of time to balance affection and pushing her away to be independent. So, again, what you were talking about, not assuming that they're fragile and that they can get out there and be on their own, but that they're also loved and nurtured at home. So there is a fine line to push about that. But if they want to go out and be with friends and they're not at home and spending a lot of time with you like they used to be, that's great. That this is the stage where they're needing to learn this. And it's not a negative about you. It's a new stage in life. And a lot of daughters, when they're older, have simply dismissed Dad as the good old guy who was never around. And you will find that, as a therapist, I have found that is just a way for daughter not to deal with the hurt and the pain about her dad. And so she's probably still going through it with the men in her life, too. And that never being around being abusive is worse, but then never being around is right up there with it. Just not being available is like you don't care, and that's how they perceive it. Daughters will typically, as adolescents, either behave as their dad wants. There'll be not too many of them, but a few. Will do exactly what Dad wants. They'll comply with his behavior. And then others will typically do the opposite. They'll have rebellious behavior. Just because you said it, I'm not going to. And so you may as well know that's a part of adolescence. And part of the ways that daughters get stuck, and if they don't get a chance to do a certain amount of rebelling, is that they will get into relating with men, and continue with you even, and into adulthood, with either being compliant around you or totally rebellious around you, but that's still giving you total control of their lives. Anybody who rebels, just to rebel, is giving you as much power over their life as giving you control. It is not thinking for yourself. It is thinking, instead of the same, it's thinking the opposite, but that's still the same kind of power. And you don't want your daughter living her life doing that either. Girls who have had difficulty getting attention from dads will very frequently use sex as a way of getting attention from other males. If you don't give them attention, appropriate attention, as daughters, that is one thing that we find that leads to daughters getting involved sexually at a younger age. That is the way they know to get attention from males. And I would suggest that's not what you want your daughters to do. The daughters who prolong their sexual activity the longest and those who have more male friends had what is described as warm, affectionate fathers. So if you want them to have male friends and prolong sexual activity, that's the kind of relationship you can expect to have with them, and that'll promote health, the healthy way of relating. Postpone having it, prolong the age to when they start to behave. I'm glad you asked. I'm not talking long term. I could tell you were worried about something. They'll typically be in their early 20s before they get sexually involved instead of 15, 16.
Fine.
And you're on tape.
Father talks to the son and the mother talks to the daughter. Is that not good, or what type of approach should be used?
I think that's probably the most comfortable approach for the kids, too. I think that it would be easier for a daughter to hear about female sexual nature from her mother than from her dad, but I don't think it should be something that dads can't talk about. And you may use humor or whatever that you want in order to do that. Oh, you know how guys are, whatever, however you would express. But it is a difficult conversation no matter who has it. But I think it typically is best with the same gender.
That opened up somewhat of a can of worms for me because I don't ever remember having that conversation with either of my parents. Because, you know, the mechanics of sex are now taught in schools, and hopefully our Lutheran schools are the same. It seems to me that in the whole realm of sexual activity, parents had better start laying some groundwork as role models before that conversation ever has to ensue. I mean, if sex is something that is not part of the family relationship, it's only part of the husband and wife relationship, then I would have a feeling that that's going to be a very hard conversation to have. As it is, I think I'm relatively well adjusted. and I believe, I don't need your opinion. And I believe it was more because I had a good role model. I'm not saying anything sort of bring the children into the bedroom. That's not what I mean. Are you picking up on what I'm trying to say? I hope I'm saying it right.
I think that, for instance, you're talking about role modeling, being affectionate with one another and loving and respecting one another, and that some amount of physical is okay between husband and wife.
Sure. I remember my father never stopped from giving my mother, a kiss or whatever, or physical affection, appropriate physical affection in front of us. And I believe that went a long way for me not to be afraid of that. I truly do not remember the conversation with my dad that said, now we have to talk about the birds and the bees.
Mm-hmm.
Got that in sex education class in school. But I do know that my parents enjoy each other and are physical with one another. I can't point to specific instances, but it was a role model of healthy physical contact in front of people, not just children, but in front of others.
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor, and that in no way negated his role as pastor, and just because he was a human being. Anyway,
I think conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been very overrated. The bird and the bee conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's not now that you're 12, we're going to talk about this, you should have done it 5 years before anyway, that, and I don't think there is some grand time when parents need to talk, but I think that parents need to be aware of what the children are and are not learning at school so that they fill in the appropriate information. And if you think parents are uncomfortable talking to kids, why would we assume teachers are? They botch the job just as bad as parents ever did, and you don't necessarily want them to get their information from some uptight whomever at school. So I think a good amount of education is important, and if you have to fill in the gaps, go for it.
Same subject, I'm in the minority in my household, wife and 2 daughters, 4 and 2. And the thing I'm uncomfortable with now is when do you close the bathroom door when you take the shower? And that's because the girls want to run in, and, oh, Dad, what's that? And I don't know, at this point, it seems harmless enough now because they're young, but at some point, you're going to have to say, well, let's lock the door now, and you've got to stay up. Kind of recommendations or how to deal with that whole situation.
When you begin to get on,
yes, my fear on girls so that they don't go, you know.
Right, I think it's important to begin to close the door when you get uncomfortable. It is. They will pick it up if they come in and ask you what that is, and you do one of those. They're going to get the message that there's something that's not okay about that. Typically, when girls. Boys and girls, children get to be nearing 5 years of age, they begin to get uncomfortable. They will get uncomfortable themselves and very curious, but you know, like they'll try to sneak in and look and so on. So that I would suggest that at about age 5 you need to be assessing whether they are still comfortable and whether you are.
Yeah, because they have no molesting now. I mean, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. They have to run around.
Yeah.
Well, I'll watch for their feeling and gauge my own response because I'm not, since I'm new with this, I can't judge the whole situation by my feelings because I don't know what's appropriate.
That has been a typical age time when most dads have begun to feel, and daughters have begun to notice a difference in you're different from mom, et cetera, and really getting into that and being uncomfortable with the difference. And so just, dad wants to take a shower with the door closed now. I mean, you don't have to get into it being bad or whatever. You just want your privacy now. As father of a daughter, Joe, what would you comment about that?
I said my daughter's 5.
Appreciate your backup. One of the comments I was going to add about the incest taboo is that if you are a daughter who's looking to find a man like your father, it may be that you become uncomfortable with sexual feelings for him, or you are uncomfortable with sexual feelings for him, because if he's so much like your dad, if that was your goal to marry somebody like dad and you did, the sex stuff will typically get messed up in there for you. So that's not something you want to encourage your daughters to do, is to go out and marry someone like good old dad, because that's not necessarily the best thing they could do. But also as daughters, you may need to know that may be a part of what's in your way if you do have some sexual hesitation, lack of attraction, whatever. It may simply be that you were grilled with it as a kid and didn't know what is getting in the way at this point. That may, and as, when you were doing counseling as ministers, that people think that's awful, that, she's not sexually interested in me, and it may be as basic as that, and not some awful, awful thing that they think is happening between their relationships. So you can maybe normalize some behavior, not ignore it, but, suggest that you just may want to pursue if husband and father are a lot alike, and then maybe she might need some counseling about it to get past that, but it doesn't have to be some big dark secret. It could be just as simple as thing as that. One of the things that daughters will typically talk about in therapy is their fear of dominance, and that is that when they've had very dictatorial fathers. Somebody's talked about autocratic over here. they will be fearful that this is the kind of marriage that they will have, and so will shy away from relationships, or they'll attract someone who treats them exactly that way. They will also look at the kind of marriage that their parents had, which you were talking about in the role model. So it's important that to know that how you relate to your daughter and how you relate to your wife both are really going to affect how she goes about having a career and selecting her mate. I can't read my paper here. Daughters will tend to relate to bosses also in the same way as, or expect bosses to relate to them in the same way that their dads did too. So it's not just in mate selection. And they will, if they're fearful, if you've been a very dominant father and they're fearful of you, they will typically go to where they'll have a female boss or an absent boss or a mousy kind of boss, but they can't deal with a powerful man, and they'll sabotage their jobs. They won't take them. But it'll definitely get in the way of their career if this has been a problem.
How does it work in the other direction when they're the boss?
When they are the boss? Yeah. If they're still angry at dad, they may punish the men they're working for. That are working for them, rather.
Mm-hmm.
That can well happen, yeah. I don't know that I've seen a lot of studies about women bosses and how that's come about, how they've been affected. Yeah, that's true. That'd be interesting to see, but I don't know. I've only seen one study about that. One of the things also about having a absent father or a father who's rarely ever there is that they don't know how to relate in a healthy way to a man. They didn't have the chance to do it. So if you are absent, if you're not present with your daughter, you are not teaching her how to have a healthy relationship. And also, if basically she sees you as not there, she may continue to leave relationships in a repeated fashion so that she's the first one to go, so she won't be left. So it sets up that kind of a pattern for her as well. And as far as careers go, fathers have been really unclear about how to guide their daughters, and your question talked about that earlier, about it, maybe she just wants to be a housewife and that would be okay. We have not taught men how to raise daughters to have options. Daughters haven't known how to behave with having options. We are now in the first, stages of being expected to have careers as well as being parents. So I think that's been part of the problem, but I think, again, if you get back to treating your daughters the same as your sons, you'll find that you will be preparing them for dealing with the work world. One of the things that is important that you not do is give a mixed message to them that they have to be super moms. That if they cannot be at home and doing all the baking, etc., the kind of thing that your mom did for you, and be out there trying to make a career work. It's not possible. There are not those hours in the day. So it's important that you don't give your daughters double messages that set them up to burn out or feel guilty about never doing anything correctly. So it's nice to advise them that they may need to go for a less high-powered career if they want to also spend some time with their children at home, too.
I think that has a lot, there's a lot of ramifications to that in terms of how you deal with a working spouse currently. If you have a wife who's a working woman, mm-hmm. is your expectation of her that the house will be as clean as it used to be before she started working? That meals are going to be not the fast food variety, but the kind that take a number of hours to prepare, that all the child care responsibilities are going to be hers, in addition to having her bring in a salary that's going to supplement the family income and whatever. I think there are some role model kind of things going on in terms of the husband-wife relationship there that are really crucial.
I think so too, and our studies are typically showing that it's still like 80%, and that's even low of all the things being done around the house are still the woman's, even though they're working the same number of hours outside the home. So that lag is not being caught up yet. But also, we're not teaching our children to do it either. So we still come home and think it's our job to do the housewifey stuff. And I have a couple of comments about that. I think it happens because who the heck wants to do housework? I mean, You know, so what man's going to jump in there and take it over just for the glory of it? There's not much in it. But the other thing is, I think that we don't expect help, therefore help. I mean, if it's both our jobs, why is it help in the first place? But we don't know how to go about letting go of some of those chores and getting the kids and the husband to help us. And one of the things that I found in one study I think is really important is that it's very important for women to let go about how it gets done. I think we sabotage our help by assuming that it has to happen just like we want it, and you never do this right, and you come behind him and clean it up after him, and then you expect him to do it. It doesn't work that way, and I think us working moms need to mellow out a little bit about standards and accept the help we get from kids and husband and encourage it a little bit.
Well, standards, but in terms of how it gets accomplished, I know when my husband and I first got married, he had a salary that was quite nice compared to what it will be, I'm sure. And he had offered at one point when I was working to have somebody come in and do housework for us. And I thought it was just the most stupid suggestion I had ever heard, because after all, my mother was able to do all of those things and to keep the house and to keep the job, although she worked part-time. And when I really started looking at how many hours she was gone during the week and how much of it she did versus, and looked at our kids' house, you know, the kids' house around the house doing it, I really should have taken him up on it when I had the chance, because I'm sure I won't have the chance again. But it really was something to even reflect back on my own reaction to that. Well, now I can do it all. I don't have to have somebody else come in. It just didn't fit the image that I thought I was supposed to be filling in, the role that I thought was mine and not somebody else's responsibility.
And we do have to let it go. That's where that has been typically the female's place to feel good about ourselves. And it's been our place to be in charge. And there are some problems with giving it up. And then especially if we're in careers where we're not really feeling like we're on top of things and we're going to give up the one place where we do feel competent, it's a tough barrier to cross from both directions. I mean, I know men don't relish washing dishes, but then neither do we relish giving up the kitchen, control of the kitchen either.
Being a house husband for the last year, I found it was an adjustment, but I'm finding that it's, like you said, it's more difficult for my wife, and she's got so many guilt about me doing most of the stuff. And it just bothers her sometimes and gets to her. She says, well, I can't be the wife that I want to because you're doing all this stuff around the house. And I said, it doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. And it really doesn't. It's feeling I did fine, and I realize that when my wife becomes the housewife again, that I do want appreciation, at least to say the house looks nice and I really appreciate it. So to say something for her to notice is important, especially when I don't do it as well as I probably she could. But that's the one thing that does bother me too is that when I cook, I'm messy. And it's hard for me not to be messy. I'm just messy. And she always says, if I do, oh, if you did it this way, you wouldn't be so messy. And then if I say, well, I clean it up.
And that's great that you bring up being appreciated, because how many wives have I heard say that in therapy? I do all this and they never appreciate it. It's just messy as could be the next day anyway, so it never even gets noticed. I think that's the important thing to remember, is to appreciate, because it's not fun work, whoever does it. But it'd be nice if we could trade roles for a little while. And, you know, if especially if we're in roles where it's the woman staying at home and the man working, or the other way around, I think it is important to know what stress the other is under and what life is like for them. Just helps us to do that appreciation a little bit better. There have been several studies of recent days about the kind of fathers who help their daughters with careers. And one is, a warm father with low expectation will not produce a daughter who will have high expectations for herself in a career. If he is just warm and accepting of anything and doesn't encourage and push her along, she may not even choose a career or assume that she has much skills about anything.
What about a daughter where you do have a father who's warm and encouraging,
but every month she's, you know, she's with a new idea, and it's like, you know, she can't seem to make up her mind, and we want to, you know, and especially her dad wants to encourage her and guide her along those ways, but it's like, no, that's not what she wants to do this time. You know.
How old is she?
15.
Yeah. I would say that's pretty typical of bouncing back and between ideas to try them on to see which fits. I still have one at 19 who's bouncing, so a male, but I think that it is her age that is the struggle, and if your husband will continue to be warm and supportive and encourage and that kind of thing, that in the long run you'll find it does pay off. That is the best, as you might guess, to be warm and have high expectations of her. Know that she can do anything she wants to set out to do within reason. I mean, to have her assume she's going to be president at 34 is probably not likely, but I mean within her skills and ability. Encourage her and tell her, let her know as well as you know that she can accomplish what she wants to. That's the best. And then having a cold father with high expectations creates a lot of times the angry, frustrated, ambitious daughters who are managers who really let you have it. That's the one study I know about with women bosses. They're very, when they've been pushed by a cold, unaccepting father, they'll turn around and do that to their male employees. And then having a cold father with low expectations is the worst of all, of course. So it just means that you have a daughter with pathetic self-esteem. Don't feel very good about themselves unless they've had other people in their lives to help them undo that. Typically, what I think it's important for men to do with their daughters is to teach them to be less sensitive, to take criticism less sensitively, because that has been the one thing that bosses have talked about, is they have a much harder time with correcting a female employee. Getting them to do something differently, asking them to upgrade their standards about something or go get 10 more sales this week or whatever, because the women will take it in a very sensitive way, take it very personally, and they cannot have a straightforward conversation about their performance. They personalize it. So if that is something that you fathers can show by role modeling and teach them, it's not you I'm talking about, it's your performance. So that they can learn that at home, and then it's a very big drawback at work.
But it's not necessarily bad. I mean, it's probably going to sound very chauvinistic, but isn't that what makes a woman? A woman is extra sensitive, more so than a male. Sounds like you're trying to make the sexes equal. You know, mechanical, go do this the same bolt, and we don't want to see any difference.
I think it is, in my personal opinion, I think that what I would like to see is men to be a little bit more sensitive and women to be a little less so. And I think that I'm not saying that I want them to be hard-hearted Hannahs where nothing ever hurts them, but it prevents women from getting promoted when they cannot take a criticism. They go back to their office and cry or pout, or they leave, or they say, I can't do this job. When they over-exaggerate the result of a conversation with the boss.
How can a father help do that, help them learn to take criticism in a constructive way?
I think if, for instance, the father disciplines a daughter and she goes to bed and pouts for whatever hours or, you know, whatever she does, he can talk to her about it, that it was her behavior that was the issue. It has nothing to do with how he feels about her. I think just letting her know that those kinds of things is very helpful. And to talk about that, if she is particularly overly sensitive, I think both fathers and mothers can talk with her about that, that it is nice to feel, but it doesn't, you don't give over your feelings, control of your feelings to a boss or a husband or anybody else. It's important to remain sensitive as he talks, but not to give your career over to a boss because he just criticized you about something. We overdo the emotion part, and I think males typically overdo the intellectual part and don't get into the feeling stuff enough. And that's what I was talking about, getting some happy medium in here a little bit.
And how can you express your love and concern for your daughter's future when they start dating and they're dating a jerk?
You know, and you want to
express them, you like this guy, okay, so tell him, but his makeup and his characteristics and so forth is only going to be hell for you down the road, and I want you to be at the see that for yourself. Of course, they're so blind by infatuation. How can you get past that barrier?
I think that if you express the behaviors that you see in this person as, this is what I see him behaving as, this concerns me because these are the kind of husbands he could end up being, and not, I demand that you stop dating him right now. That will get you nowhere. She'll sneak and do it or comply and then date somebody just like him next time. But if you talk about the behaviors and how they will affect her, and don't push and don't nag and don't demand some different behavior from her, I think, I would love my dad to have done that with me. I wish my dad would have said, you know, this guy isn't half-wit. He's never going to make it, you know. Please, I would love to have had him to get that involved with people I dated. Instead, what I got was a message that nobody was ever good enough. What? You know, that's so global that I couldn't deal with it. But I would love if he would have gotten involved enough to at least talk about the guy and what he saw in him and not demand, though.
My daughter's already got serious enough about someone when they get to that point. I like to talk with the boy and tell him what my daughter is really like.
Uh-huh.
He's a perfectionist type and she expects this and everything she does in that way.
Uh-huh.
And, it's a different.
I think that would be an important conversation to have with both of them. That would be, if she gets to the point of getting serious about somebody, that would be a very nice conversation to have with the two of them together. She's going to find it out.
I have to concur with what you said, because we had a situation where my daughter was dating someone that was totally, forget it, we couldn't stand him, he was not Christian, he was just totally off the wall. And even, you know, but she thought she was in love with him at the time. And after a lot of prayer and knowing that, you know, we had guided her along the way that we really hoped she'd go, a lot of prayer and talking to her, like you said, and saying, look at this guy, he doesn't have a job, he doesn't want to be bothered finishing school, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then just saying, okay, you have to make that decision. And standing behind her and knowing that she still had the love from us, it helped. Mm-hmm. Because now, 6 months later, she's not seeing him. He's called her several times. She's told him in essence to get lost. We never had to say a thing.
Uh-huh.
And then also, my dad did that after my husband and I decided to get married, what you had said about talking to him. And he did that, and he said, I want you to know what, you know, what type of a woman you're getting as a wife. And my husband appreciated it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he also told the bad parts, too. But
uh-huh.
It was helpful in our relationship in the beginning.
It is typical that your daughters, back to relationships again, but it is typical that your daughters will either go for someone like you or go for the exact opposite. That's the standard way we behave. And if you have, if they find some qualities in a man that they like that remind them of dad, that's great. The more mature you are before you make your choice and the better you feel about yourself, the less hooked you're going to be in getting into one of those two extremes, or that your daughter will be in getting into those. So I think if you say something like that, you know, if you're looking for somebody to be the give whatever characteristics you don't like, that you don't think she's going to be very happy with that in the long run. I don't think there's anything wrong with enlightening daughters about that. It's, you know, we wait until we're in unhappy relationships before we deal with the reasons why we made that choice that's so difficult for us in the first place. And I wish some of this training was in high school where, you know, when the kids are beginning to date, they can look at that. But typically when you marry someone who's just the opposite of dad, it's not going to cut it, because you'll end up nearing your 20s appreciating your dad and not appreciating this jerk you're married to, who's so opposite of everything you really did value about dad. So it's important that you respect where they are, but educate them about mate selection things. That she may be mad at you about something, she doesn't have to go out and date your opposite. That won't get her anywhere either. She will appreciate you someday again. I have 5 minutes. I'm not going to go on with the rest. It was that basically sums it up. I wanted to get the opposite and same point across, but I'd be happy to answer other questions. We have 5 minutes.
Can you comment, if you so desire, on the role that faith has played in your own work as a counselor, family counselor, And then in the studies you have done, you've noticed any kind of correlation at all between the faith of the individuals being studied and the classes, the categories that they fit in, as far as the type of people they turned out to be and all that?
As far as religion goes, as far
I'm talking about genuine, real Christian faith versus someone who just put the stamp on form that says on Catholic group.
Right. I have found that people who truly have a strong belief in a relationship with God get through difficulties with a lot less difficulty. They appreciate themselves and they know that relationship is there to rely on, and I will use that because I think it's the strongest support that a person has. I get very frustrated when I work with people who don't believe they have a relationship with God. I don't know what to do. And I can try the textbook stuff, things that we learn to do with, like a couple when, but if they don't have that relationship with God, then I feel really stuck, because somebody who's suicidal and doesn't believe there's heaven or hell or a God, what do you say? Where do you go from there? I mean, that the bottom line is they're discouraged and there's no hope anyway if that's how you feel about life. So I think it's extremely important to work through any difficulty in a family, or, you know, in a therapy relationship, or parent-child too. I think if you can encourage that in your children without forcing it on them and making them rebel against it, I think that's going to be in your favor too, to work out some of their strengths. Somebody else?
Is there a reason that the discussion between and daughters is so important? Is it because there is more trouble with that than there is with fathers and sons, or mothers and sons? Mothers, what is significant about the father-daughter versus the others?
The significance is that fathers have not related very much at all to their daughters, and daughters are just now beginning to talk about the problems that's caused for them. They do have a high impact on their daughter's life, such as their mate selection is more from dad than mom. How much more of an important decision you're ever going to make in your life than that? So it's important that daughters know about the influence that their dads have, and the dads know it in time to do something about it. And we are just now beginning to find out about it. That's why you're hearing so much about it, is the importance of that relationship.
Second question I have is that it seems that our oldest daughter, who's 13, and my husband butt heads more on little bitty things, nitpicky things, odd little things at the dinner table, versus my daughter and I may have discussions on something, a bigger issue than that. Is there a reason for that? Is that a typical thing, or is that more of a personal thing between the two of them, or is that typical of fathers and daughters to touch on little things?
I think that is typical, because fathers and daughters will generally not get into the big things. That's been how they relate then, is on the smaller issues, and they don't get into the things that are really important to either one of them. So when you see that, that's probably about the depth that they know how to get to at this point. I mean, if they got to things that were really important, probably how you eat your spaghetti is less important. You know, I'm just saying that as an example. But I think that some of it...
It's hard for me to watch that, and yet I don't know if they just need to go ahead and deal with that, or if it needs to kind of be, forget it already, you know. You're going to talk about something important. Uh-huh. I get very frustrated with that.
Some of it is a personality conflict. My dad and I could out-argue anybody going, and it would drive my mother nuts. I loved it. So your daughter may also enjoy it. I don't know. I think you had your hand first.
Okay. I wanted to question something that I think you started to touch on. As parents, I'm sure there will be some tension between wanting any child, daughter or otherwise, to make the correct decisions, and yet not wanting to stifle them in making the decisions.
Uh-huh.
And obviously allowing them the freedom to make the decisions means allowing them the freedom to perhaps make the wrong one.
Uh-huh.
How as a parent does one handle, on the one hand wanting the correct actions to be taken, on the other hand wanting them to make the decision to do the correct actions?
I can give you an example of how we handled when my son was choosing a college last year. And I told him up front I had a bias, and that I'd support him going wherever. I'm glad it was not the choice that he did. It wasn't going to go at all. And I didn't introduce that into the option unless he did. So, but we made a list about, I just helped him to look at the pros and cons of the choices that he had, and he made them. And I would write them down, and then we'd talk about them then, which was good about this choice and which was bad about this choice. But then I said, you know, these are the experiences I hope you can have, and I think you can have them better here, but I don't know that. I'm not a fortune teller. I don't know that that's the best choice for you, and I want you to make the decision. I'll support you if you go here or if you go here. But I was honest about having a preference, which he told me later he appreciated. He didn't want to have to second guess and then try to choose what Mom wanted or have to rebel. He liked having it up front. So I think if you just will be honest and then help them explore and tell them up front what you think is good and bad about it, but they may have other ideas about that, and they're just as valid. Put them right in there with yours about the pros and cons so that it doesn't look like you're giving more weight to your own. I'm sorry, you were first, and I'm going to come back to you. I've been rude to you.
I'm kind of building on Chris's question over here. You know, if you have a father that has a real hard time in ever dealing with deeper issues, and, you know, as a daughter wanting to deal with deeper issues, how do you get there? Because it seems like, you know, the father's kind of putting up walls so that he doesn't have to deal with them, and yet it's real important to the daughters, and I think that's what you found in your research, mm-hmm. that they do deal with those.
Right.
What are some ways that you can overcome or break down those walls that a dad has built up?
I think that if the father was comfortable enough to do it would be to say, I wish we could have conversations about things other than how you eat spaghetti, and I'd really like to know what you think about something or other. Plan ahead what you're going to ask her. I'd like to change things a little bit and talk about how'd your day go today? How'd your classes go? I'd like to just get more in touch with you than I've been. I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Anything that just opens the door to let her talk. She's probably going to be uncomfortable. It's like, what is he setting me up for here? And if it hasn't been happening, she is probably going to be distrustful for a little while. But just to honestly ask a question about her and then make certain that you don't get into judging or criticizing, because she won't open her mouth again if you do. It's important to just accept what she says and, you know, like a little pat on the shoulder or whatever at the end of the conversation, just to connect in some way is nice.
As a daughter, though, trying to break down the walls that a dad had, would you do it the same way?
I would probably say that it's harder for the daughter to do, but for the daughter to say, I'd really like to have a conversation with you, and, you know, would you just listen and not criticize me? Something like that. That's going to be tough for a dad to hear. He may get real defensive. I don't criticize you, you know, but it's helpful if you have a mom who can mediate that. That you can talk to her and get, you know, some conversation with the prepare husband a little bit for the conversation that would happen. That puts mom right back in that mediator role again, but she does do a pretty good job most of the time.
I'm sure you've heard the expression tough love.
Uh-huh.
When you have a child that is going to be very independent, and let's say they're out on drugs and whoring around and whatever, and are they doing it mainly as their reaction against the relationship with that the parent, or I'm going to get back at you for something, for God only knows why, you know? So, and then if you have that situation, how should you handle it? Should you just go ahead and press, just be tough, and this is how it's going to be?
I think so. When you have a kid into that kind of self-destructive behavior, you don't have a choice but to push. I would suggest that you get some help either with a tough love people or counseling, because something is going on with that kid that is not positive and could end up leading to death or, you know, all kinds of things. So when somebody's into drugs and illicit sex, that is not something to just assume is going to pass. You do have to deal with it. But it could well be that there's anger in the relationship, but who knows? It could also be some personality stuff and just got in with the wrong crowd and a lot of things. I can't always say that it's a bad relationship with parents.
Okay.
I'm running into your time here. I'll keep taking. Okay, yeah.
If you're being an academic environmental, I'll be to ask this question. You're going to go to read more about what you're saying.
About what, with fathers and daughters?
Yeah. Have you published a book, or your colleagues, or your journals we can go read articles about? Obviously, just this one little exposure is not going to sum up in our minds all these concepts, and it'd be good to be able to.
Right. I have not yet written the book. I've worked on journal articles. That's coming. But there, one of the books that I think is really good is Fathers and Daughters by William Appleton. I don't remember. It's a pink book. It's in paperback, you know, like it, B. Dalton. Pink, of course. It's Fathers and Daughters. Uh-huh. And then there's another one, Like Fathers, Like Daughters by Suzanne Fields. And that one is one where she did research with several hundred fathers and daughters both, and got some really good current information from them. Let me think, what else? I guess those two would be the best for parents to read.
Suzanne who?
Fields.
Quick question. Does the birth order of your children affect the relationship with their father? Like, our oldest daughter is 13, our youngest is 8, and I think there is a very unique relationship between oldest versus the youngest. She kind of wants to be like me. She's not real worried about relationships.
Which one is
the youngest?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't. She's just kind of this flighty little thing that goes
mm-hmm.
with. But the other is a more intense person, and can the personality, I don't know, does that birth order influence how hard the father has to work at making that relationship?
Typically, birth order relationships are that the oldest child will be the child of the father, the second child will be more the child of the mother, and the third child will kind of try to mediate and get in there with everybody, and the fourth, if you have a fourth child, they are a family child. They just blithely accept what's happening and are kind of congenial type folks, getting the community involved with the family and all that. But if it is an oldest daughter and the daughter was wanted the first child was actually wanted to be a female, then typically the dad and daughter will have a close relationship. It may be conflictual, but that doesn't, when you're close, doesn't mean that you don't fight. In fact, you can be closer because you do fight. But typically the oldest